Well, turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, in verse 17. I'm reading the King James Version. How many of you love the King James? That's the one Jesus used, the apostles. I mean, you also know that the King James is also a translation. It's a translation, and everything's translated, praise God. And, the Lord is good all the time. I don't know why this guy is so slow. I'll have to go. I thank God for I got more than one thing here. So anyway, go to John, the fourth chapter of Romans, verse 47. I want to talk about four steps to answered prayer. We're gonna skip three of them. We're just gonna go to four of them today. Amen. So we're gonna take the quicker way. Four steps to answered prayer. Of course, our topic is on prayer, faith, and we're going to look at this morning. And I'd like to get across to you, if I can, if you're allowed to receive a message. You can know that your prayers have been answered. I want to repeat that again. You can know that your prayers are answered. So that's my message this morning. So if I just went home right now, I would say, man, that's a good word. Amen? Okay, so Romans 4:17. Let's go ahead and read the King James. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, this word that God spoke to our father Abraham, he said, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, you have to appreciate the time and the situation this man was in, that God spoke the end or the result of what he wanted happen in this man's life. And God speaks to us and tells us what our life will be like. You know, Hebrews 11 says that faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. Hope always is about the future, but faith is used to bring about what you hope for. It says, and also goes, the second part says, faith is the reality of the things we cannot see. You can see your future through the lens of the Bible. You can see your future, how God wants it to be in your life. And so we have to call it like God calls it. Because we cannot let our own minds, our own situations, and what we see as the finality of what, you know, our life is going to be like. There's much more to life than what you're seeing right now. And we live far below the standard of what God wants us many, many times. So let's go ahead and look at that again. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him. Now that word before him, there's a little asterisk in my Bible. The word before him is actually the translation says, like unto God, or just like God. In other words, Abraham did just like God did. You know, God is our father. We ought to act like our father. And we learn from our parents. You know, as in school, they taught me that, you know, the very first trainers that we had was our parents. And God gives us our parents to teach us, to keep us in line. And he says, before him, or like unto God, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. God calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God calls things like, you know, he wants it to be. And we ought to call the thing in our life the way God wants it to be, not the way it is. We shouldn't call it like it is. We should call it like what God says it is, if we want to change it. But if we don't want to change it, if we don't know, you keep saying what you have, then you'll keep getting what you keep saying. So we need to change our language, the language of faith. And faith is always, you know, speaking the word of God. So we can learn from our father here, Abraham, about the principles of faith and put them into operation or put them into action in our personal lives that would give us our answers to our prayer. And so many people do not believe in their own prayers. So they have to go around asking somebody else to pray for them. And they don't have confidence that God will answer them personally. I think there's come a day, and there should come a day when you know that God hears you. And that God cares for you, and that he wants to talk to you, and that you should go to him. You know, we appreciate those who are older than us. We love them. And we like elders. We like people who are older than us. We like pastors and ministers who know God. But God wants to know us personally, and he wants to answer us personally. And so we feel that they can get the job done for us, and so we go to them, which is okay to a certain point. So here I want to offer you four principles that you can use in order to determine that your own prayers can be answered. So, first of all, let's come to God according to his word. Let's come to God according to what the Bible says. When we come to God according to his word, we know that things will work out for us, just like he says. When we come to God, just like he says, there'll be no such thing as lack, or no deliverance, or no healing, or no protection. There'll be no lack of whatever source. There'll be nothing lacking in your life, but only what the promises say. God says he's provided for you, and he's covered you according to all that you have. You know, we read 3 John, I wish above all things that you may prosper. Be in health, even as your soul prospers. You look at that scripture, it says, even as your soul prospers. In other words, you have to come thinking in line with the word of God in order for you to prosper in all those other areas. You have to see that God wants you to be well, to do well in life. God wants us to have more than enough. Not just enough, but more than enough. Like I said to you on Wednesday, you know, I don't lack anything. You know, I haven't worked in the world. When we left, my wife and I, we were working to subsidize our work here at the church so that we can live comfortably. We can do more with our lives. We can provide more for our children. We can provide more for different things. So for about 20 years, I worked at the college to subsidize myself here. But then it took away from my energy to work here. And it put stress on me. And I was juggling my time, and I was running Spirit Alive, and I was doing different things, you know, and it was just lots of struggle. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, when are you going to make that move? Because it was a choice. And, of course, Pastor Hagin said, if you need to make those changes, you have to go to work somewhere. Go ahead and go to work somewhere for a while, but not forever. So we decided that my wife and I said, okay, so we have to stop working at the college to subsidize, and we believe God, the money will come through the church. And so we did. We don't, you know, let me just tell you, I don't owe any money to anybody, to MasterCard, Visa. I don't owe any bank any money. As far as I know, I don't owe any fines. I don't have any educational, bills. I don't owe any car payments. I don't owe. My house is paid for. At this stage of my life, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm fortunate because some people, they owe thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. And I thank God. If I did, I would still believe God. And I would do what God said and do what he said. You know, and I tithe. I give more than my tithe. I even double up on my giving. I still give away lots of money, but I'm still staying afloat. I have nice shoes. I bought these jeans. They're $100 jeans. You wouldn't even know it. Right? But, you know, I mean, I'm well provided for. I got gas in my car. I went to gas and washed my car last night and put out in the front so that you can look at it. Oh, Pastor, that's a clean car. I want to look good, smell good, amen, and eat good. So you know what? And we will provide it for it. And I believe if I'm good, the church is going to be good. The church doesn't owe any money. In 2 years, we'll be able to pay off this building. We're going to build a new auditorium over here, a 700 and 1,000-seat auditorium. Amen. We're going to build other buildings back here. Hallelujah. Are you getting scared now? Yeah, we're going to take an offering. Amen. And so you know, you have to declare different things. Amen. Amen. So we're going to do it. I mean, God's good. Amen. He's bigger than your thinking. Amen. Amen. He's bigger than us. Altogether. And so we're not afraid of anything. I mean, God's, he's a provider. So I praise God for providing everything. And by the way, I have money in the bank. Amen. I thank God for money in the bank. You know, there's thousands of dollars in my bank account. It's not because I'm going to be retiring. I never had a retirement. There's nobody's going to give me a retirement check. I have to pay my own check, my own thing, you know. So we never had anything here. Just a couple of years ago, we started putting money away. And so, most people who retire, I think about friends of my age, they're all retired, and they're traveling to Vegas, and they're going different places. And they said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to be working here, the church. Amen. I'm going to enjoy my life. Thank God for that. So, I used to remember years ago, and some of my friends, they retired in their 50s, and they're still living. And I wanted to retire in my 50s, but I didn't. I couldn't. But thank God, I don't mind. I don't mind working. Do you mind working? I don't mind working either. So according to, if we come to God according to his word, he will always come through. He'll always work out whatever plan that he has for you, and it's always a good plan. So there's no such thing as lack. Anybody that comes to God and does what God says, no matter who you are, you could be native, indigenous, First Nations, it's all the same thing. You could be a white guy, a French guy. You could be a Finlander. You could be whoever you are. God will honor you. It doesn't matter who you are. If you honor the word of God, you know, Psalm 91 says, him that honors me, I'll honor him. And so God will honor anybody who begins to take the word and begins to revere the word, just like God himself. God and his word are one. He is the word. He is who he said he is, or the word declares that he is his word. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. If we come to God with, according to the word, he will hear us. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, I'm reading the King James Version. He says that this is the confidence. How many people want confidence? You want confidence and what you want from God? And here's something that you can look at. This is the confidence that we have in him. That is in God, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, the Creator. Here's the confidence we have in him. If you want confidence. Now listen, it says here. If we ask anything according to how you feel. No? No, according to his will. How do we find God's will? Well, we find his will according in the scriptures. That's his will. The word of God is the will of God. Okay? If we ask anything according, you could say, if we ask anything according to the New Testament, you can say it that way. You can say, if we ask anything according to the Old Testament, you can say that. If we ask anything according to the Bible or according to the Scriptures, you can say that. He hears us. God will hear you if you come based according to the Word of God. The second part, it says here in verse 15, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desired. In other words, you can only know that God hears you if He said so, if you come according to what He said. Everybody here right now, you can know that God hears you because God said so. And so, you know, Abraham, in the over here, what he did in chapter 4 and verse 17 and the verse 21, we get a picture of Abraham coming to God and God coming to him, and they're connecting together. And we see what happens in that whole operation. We see principles that we can derive from, out of that, to we can apply it to our own lives and to know that God will answer our prayers. So God gave, the Bible says that God gave Abraham a son, and that he had promised. And we see this, you know, if you look back, I'm just giving you a little bit of background. And with Abraham, when in that situation, it didn't look very promising. It looked impossible that he would actually have a son in his age. The Bible said he was well stricken in age. You know, when you get older, things don't work right, you know, the way you are when you're 20. And his wife was past due as far as childbearing is concerned, and yet God proved himself faithful to his promise. Even when things look impossible, and when things are impossible, they're possible with God. You know, something might look impossible to you, but then again, there are some things that are impossible, but God still is at work. And God has no respecter of people. If Abraham, if he did it for Abraham, he'll do it for you and me. Amen. The Bible teaches us that God has no respecter of people. Amen. Whether it's Abraham, Paul, James, or any one of the disciples, or a big preacher that you admire, he's no respecter of that preacher any more than he respects you. He treats you the same way. That's why I've been trying to teach people. Now, you depend on me for prayer, and I appreciate that I'm a big star for you, you know, as far as prayer is concerned. But I want to teach you that you can do this yourself. You can pray for yourself. Now, I don't mean that you should be independent. I'm just saying that, you know, you can do this yourself. You don't have to wait to come to church to get your prayers answered. You can have your prayers answered at home and then come here and rejoice together. Amen? You don't have to wait till somebody calls a healing line. You can just get healed right there in your seat. Amen. So God is faithful to his word. And so Romans 2:11 says to King James, for there's no respecter of persons with God. You know, we need to take the word at face value. Over in another chapter, we see this over and over. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter talking about the Gentiles, and they, the Jewish people who were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. And then he said that Jewish people over there, they were God visited them too, and they got born again, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what Peter opened up his mouth, verse 34, John 10, 34. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God has no respecter of persons. If God did it for one person, he'll do it for you. If God did one thing, if he answered your prayer one time, long time ago, and if he got you out of a horrible sickness or disease, if he got you out of a horrible social situation, a relationship issue, no matter what it is, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. You know, Psalm 34, you know, it says Psalm 34, the psalmist says, you know, I'll praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth, no matter what's happening. I will declare God's praises no matter what's going on in my life. And so it's harder to praise God when you're having a hard time emotionally, when things are going well. But the Bible says that we should praise him at all times. And over in verse 19, and during that time, the psalmist was having a difficult time. The king wanted his head, and he was hiding in caves and running around in the bushes, like some of you are running around in the bushes, running away, you know. But over in verse 19 of Psalm 34, it says, many are the afflictions, the trials and difficulties of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of 50% of the time. No? That's what some people think, right? But the Lord delivers him out of all of them. In other words, if he did it once, he'll do it again. Many are the afflictions. In other words, you're not going to have one affliction in your life. You're going to have many of them. And each time that you happen, God's going to deliver you again. Hallelujah. I want to run home right now. Amen. I thank God for that because, you know, he's an expert in raising you up and helping you start again. If we need to start again, we'll start again. But sometimes we're experts at making a wreck out of our lives. Right? You know, it don't matter what anybody says, God can help you again. He's no respecter of any people, he respects faith if you start believing him. No matter what you're going through, God loves you, and I love you, and we love each other here. Amen. So we take if we take these four steps laid out for us in Romans 4:17, we will get our prayers answered every time. No matter what you're praying for, God, you know, will help us. The Bible says the only thing God looks for, and Pastor Ken talked about it on Wednesday, Hebrews 11:6, is without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we're encouraged to live by faith. In other words, when we say live by faith, we're talking about when we live according to the plan and purposes of God, when we live according to the Bible, when we live according to what the New Testament says, when we live according to that, we're living by faith. Faith is not some kind of thing, you know, you're just kind of dreaming out something. No, faith is what the Bible says, right? So number one, the first principle. We haven't even got there yet, so some of you are writing down, I wonder which principle he's talking about. No, we're gonna go to the one first. I'm just exhorting you first. Amen? And he's already got 4 points on there. Check his, you know. He already ran ahead, you know. Hallelujah. Number one, everybody say number one. The first thing you need to do if you want your prayers answered is know God's will. Know God's will. So the first thing to do, the first step you should take if you want your prayers answered is you have to know what God says. You have to know that whatever you desire is contained in the scriptures. Does what you want, is that in the scripture? And so you have to say, is that God, one of God's promises? So we have to know what God's will is on the matter. We have to have faith for something, or you cannot have faith for something if you don't have the word on it. Because faith is the foundation. The word of God is the foundation for anything you believe. So you cannot pray for something and say, Lord, if it be thy will. That prayer is not the right prayer to insert there if you're praying the prayer of petition. Because if it be thy will is a prayer of consecration, dedication, and commitment to God. That's a different kind of prayer. Okay? You can't say when you're asking God for anything of the promises, you can't say, if it be thy will. That's destroying your faith. Right? So, as we read, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. In him refers to the word of God. This is the confidence that we have in the word of God, that if we ask anything according to the word of God, the will of God, it goes on to say we have the petitions. So when you ask God something, you have to ask yourself, is that the Bible? Do I have a scripture or two about that? If you want your prayers answered, you also can't doubt God. You got to say, that's what God says. I know my mind is giving me a hard time, but no, God says that in his word. Okay? Mark 11, 24 says, when you ask God, you shall not doubt in your heart. You know, the Bible said you must believe in your heart. I know Pastor Ken touched on that on Wednesday. You must believe in your heart. How do you believe with your heart? The Bible says if you believe in your heart, you see that scripture, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is risen from the dead, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll have whatever. You know, whatever it says, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart, Mark 11, 24 says, believe in your heart. What does that mean, believe in your heart, that term, believe in your heart? Believing in your heart means you're believing from the inside. You're believing with your spirit. And your spirit does not depend on sight, feelings, on your five senses to believe anything. Because, you know, the Bible says, you know, Hebrews 11:1. Can we just put Hebrews 11:1 up there, Kelsey? Hebrews 11:1. Let's go ahead and read the New Living Translation here for all you new livers. New livers. Did you find, are we up there? Faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. You could say it this way. The word faith and the Bible, or faith and the scriptures, are synonymous terms. Faith and the Bible are mean the same thing. You could say the Bible shows us the reality of what we hope for. Or you could say the scripture shows us the reality, because the only way you can have faith is the scripture. The only way you could see your future is the scripture. You get it? So faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Faith, or the Bible, is the evidence of things we cannot see. You should be rejoicing right now. You can't be just shocked. No. You know, faith is the evidence. The Bible is the evidence of what you cannot see. Okay? That's why it's a substance. Faith is what you use until you have the thing that's promised in the Bible. Faith is what you use until you see. Yeah, that's why prayers, you know, you base your prayers on, oh, I just felt God heard me. Never mind, shut up. Talk about no feeling. Oh, you know, you talk about what the Bible says, right? I'm sorry for acting strange, but sometimes you have to ask, I tell myself, I'm like this to myself. What you see here is what I do to myself in my prayer time. When I'm talking to God, you know, I slap myself around and I tell myself different things. So you have to do that to yourself. My wife doesn't do it. I will charge her. Praise God. Now, Mark 11, 23, let's go, we mentioned it. He says, Mark 11, 23, 24, for I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, in other words, you got to talk to your mountain, talk to your problem, don't talk about how big it is, talk about it has to go. Can I stay? Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. In other words, when you don't doubt with your heart, you say, I don't care how I feel, I don't care what I say, I believe with my heart. That means, so that term, believing in your heart, the term means this. Believing in your heart means this. Means I'm believing independent of my senses. I'm believing independent of what my mind tells me or my body tells me, because the word says it. That's what you do. That's how you know you got your prayers answered. Amen. That's why you could smile. Right? Hallelujah. So I'm just reminding you, I know you know this. I'm just reminding you in dramatic fashion. Right? I know you know this. You say, you can't teach me anything. I know that. Well, we're going to go over it again. But shall not doubt in his heart. In other words, you don't depend on your feelings or emotion, but shall believe in his heart that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. In other words, you're believing, you're not going to base your feelings, base your faith on feelings, or if you're when you pray, things change, or I felt the anointing, or no, I don't care if you felt the anointing or not. You could walk out of there and start acting crazy again, acting like how you feel. I don't care how I feel. The Word of God works. It works in the nighttime, in the daytime. It doesn't work. It works when it's minus 30, plus 40. It doesn't matter. It works all the time. It works in the south, in the north. Works on the train, in the plane. Works everywhere. Works in Walmart. Works everywhere. Safeway, Metro. It works everywhere. Amen? Thank God for that. It works everywhere. Do you remember Dr. Seuss? That's what I'm doing right now. So, verse 24, therefore, the reason why you understand, because that's the way faith works. In verse 23, he's talking about how faith works. So that's why prayer works. That's why he says, therefore. So he says, therefore, I say to you what things you ever desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And I could go a little bit further in this. You got to believe. When you pray, the moment you pray for something, the moment you pray for something, that's the moment I'm believing I got it. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. And you come out of there, and nothing's changed. Your life is all the same, and nothing's changed. You don't feel anything different. In fact, it even got worse. But you're staying with the Word.
Right.
Amen? That's how things work. And that's why people, they don't do this. They go up and down. You got to call, you got to call every hotline, the Christian community, But informed Christians, thank God for that. I'm not kind of against, because we have prayer people. But I'm telling you, if you belong to church, you should be knowing this. You don't have to call a hotline. You are the hotline. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You could do whatever. You could pray for all the ministers on TV. Hallelujah. Amen. So say, I'm the hotline. So you have to learn to speak right after your prayer. If you believe you got something, you got to learn to speak right. Right. So after you pray, you have to speak right. You got to speak faithful words. And one of the hardest things to do for every Christian is to speak right when everything is going against them. Is to speak right after they receive their, after they receive by faith, and after you pray, things go wrong and even gets worse. You got to continue to stay on the right road. Not to be thrown off emotionally, the check didn't come in. Whatever. Right? The government's coming, they're coming to get the TV tonight. The car is going out tomorrow. They're going to shut down my electricity. Hey, wait a minute. This reminds me of lots of stories I heard in my own life. Praise God. That's the story of my life before. But yeah, I'm not anymore there. So it says here, James 1:26, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridle not his own tongue, but he deceives his own heart. In other words, if you're going to do this, don't start talking negative, because you'll deceive your own faith. You'll trap your own faith. When you pray, don't talk negative again about it. Have you ever gone to these seminars where they tell you all these wonderful things, Everybody's all happy about it, but then they don't do it after. They gone home, they're in their own place, in their own space. So, you could deceive your own heart, your own spirit by talking negative. That's why he tells you that there. If people think they're religious, but say things they should not say, are just fooling themselves, their religion is worth nothing. James 1:26 says, the NCV Bible. That's the New Century people. Are you any New Century people here? Yeah? Are you over 100? Then you're not belong. You don't belong to this chat. This is not your Bible. Okay. Some of you look 100, but you're not 100 yet. Though you look like brand new babies. Anyway, it's important to continue to speak right after you pray. So even when things seem unlikely, just like Abraham, you got to continue to speak right. He said, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. What's your name? I'm the father of many nations. Before, his name was Abram. Right? He had to change his language. God changed his language. So you have to change your language if you're going to walk by faith. You got to change your language, right? Faith, everything from heaven, is faith activated, voice activated. You speak in line with the Word of God. So prayer is going to work that way. That's why prayer works right. So let's go. You know, say, for instance, you prayed something. Let me just give you like a God's promise. God says, I'll supply every one of your needs. Over in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Bible says that I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says there, I will not lack for anything. Amen. One of my favorite confessions I make in my prayer time, I said, Lord, I want to thank you. You said in Psalm 23, I will not lack for anything. I want to thank you that personally, my home will not lack for any kind of resource. I thank you that any kind of money I need is coming to me. I have more than enough. Amen. I thank you that this church, Faith City Church, has more than enough money to do whatever it's called to do. I thank you for Spirit of Life has more than enough money. Father, I call in the money to come in the name of Jesus. I bind the devils that are trying to steal from me. I bind you, Satan. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off my money. Get your hands off my bank accounts. Get your hands off my giving, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus, I command you to lose that to me in Jesus' name. Angels, go forth and cause the money to come. I want to thank you, Father, that it's open to me. Amen. And then we see people coming in. We see the bank, the trucks in the back coming in, delivering the money. Milk trucks, right? Milk trucks. But anyway, I know I'm kidding about this, but we're it's real. Amen. We have to speak the Word of God. So here's something else. Philippians 4:19, this specifically is talking about people who give to ministry. If you read the context of Philippians chapter 4, he's talking about those who is giving, in verse 15, to the ministry. And Paul says, God will supply all your needs. He's talking to those people there that's giving to him when he was going out on his missions trip. But we can still claim that because it's conjunction with the other scriptures. God shall supply all my needs. But if you're just spending money haplessly and just, just buying crazy things and doing whatever, and then you're just spending crazy. And you don't keep any money for yourself and put it in the bank for a day that you need it. And you just spend, and you buy a truck every week and a television every week. And then you say, the devil is attacking me. No, you're attacking yourself. Right, so, listen. We gotta use sense, right? I thank God I don't do this myself, because I need my wife to help me, and some of you guys need your wife to help you, and if you don't have one, you should get one. No, you don't have to get one. You can live free if you want to be. You don't ever have to get married. Never. If I was not married, I wouldn't get married. My wife said, if you die, I said, don't talk like that. You get married again. I said, if you get married, I'll come back. I'll come back as a dog and bite that man. I'll make sure. We're running out of time, boys. You got 5 minutes here. You keep laughing at my jokes. This is going to go on Comedy Act soon. No. You know, in 1 Timothy 6:17, that God says in the second section of that verse of Scripture, he says, but God gives us all things richly to enjoy. So God wants to bless us. He wants to supply our needs. So when you pray and you ask God to meet your needs, you have faith for it. You can pray according to that word and say, God, you supply all my needs. I will not lack for anything. You give me richly all things to enjoy. Not just to supply me, but something I might enjoy. Right? If you want a new Ski-Doo, you can pray and ask God, Father, I want that money for that Ski-Doo. I'm going to buy it right now. I need an 80-inch TV. I got a 70-inch, but I want an 80-inch TV. You think God will give it to me?
Yes.
I'll just say it in the name of Jesus, right? I can just say it. I mean, I believe God for it, right? I want a new Honda. I got an old Honda. It's good, though. Nothing wrong with it. I can get a new one, but I don't want any payments. Praise God. That's why I'm not at Honda right now. Amen. They're after me every week. So 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes I was healed. Matthew 8:17 says that himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. Right? It says there that that's what it says. So I can believe that healing belongs to me, so I can come to God, his promise, and Father, you said this. But also, I like this better. The Bible says that God will not allow sickness to get on you. Amen. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If the sickness tries to come, I claim divine health. I claim that I'll never have to be sick. And it says that I don't have to have any accidents. The scripture, it says I don't have to have anything broken. I'm believing God. I'm believing that no sickness, no danger will come near me. So thank God. I'm believing God for that. I thank God for divine healing, but I'm believing for divine health. Now the devil tries to attack, but I just got to have to stand against those illnesses. I'll have illnesses. I'll have some kind of symptoms, but I say, thank God, I'm standing against this. I've had them. I mean, last month or a couple months ago, I went and had a small tumor removed. I came out and came back in. I had some dental work done. They said, you have nice gums. But your teeth has to go. No, I mean, I had to have it removed. I had something have to be removed. So they put me out once, and they say, I don't put me out again. It's hard to come out. So I had different things operated in my life. Different things have to remove, so I tried to get rid of it myself. I couldn't get rid of it. So I needed some other medical help. Amen. So I'm not stupid. While I'm believing, it's kept going, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger. So I'm believing God. Amen. So if you have to go get medical attention, get it. I was taught that by Rhema and faith people. You know, so we thank God, faith and medicine, they're doing the same thing. Thank God for that. So the second thing you need to do is believe God meant what he said. If you found God's word, the promises, the second next step you should take is that you must believe that he meant what he said. Believe the word of God, and it's a sure foundation. Build your faith on that. Somebody said if you prayed seven times for something, for one thing, you prayed six times in unbelief. If you prayed and prayed and prayed for the same thing, you've just demonstrated that you didn't believe the previous times. Some people say you must keep asking God again and again and again until you receive. No, we don't go by how we feel or situation. We go by what the word says. If God said it, then we believe it. That settles it. You ask God one time. If it's in the Bible, if it belongs to you, ask him one time. And say, thank God I receive it. And if you go wrong moping and crying and everything, then you're not in faith. Just deal with it. Go back to the Bible and learn how to get faith. If you complain, then you're not in faith. If you're mad at everybody else, then you're not in faith. Believe God. It's between you and God, right? So if you keep asking God for the same thing over and over and over, you've been doing that for how many years now? How many months now? Then you're not in faith. Just deal with it. You're not in faith. You're scared. You're more scared than ever before, and you're more confused about it because nothing's happening. Then you haven't been in faith. You need to learn how to believe. Learn how to believe. Believe that God hears your prayers. So many people, like I said, don't believe that God hears their prayers. The Bible says this, Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry or prayers. It says that. Psalm 34, 15. In other words, God sees you, And his ears are open to your prayers. The righteous. You are righteous right now. You're the righteousness of God. God made you righteous. Look at Amplified Bible and Romans 5 and verse 1, the Amplified Classical Division. Let's go look at that for a second. I want to give you some assurance here. Because you are righteous right now. You're just as right as any strong evangelist in the whole world. You're stronger than you think you are. It says, therefore, since we are justified, that we're justified, it means acquitted, declared righteous. You're declared righteous right now and given the right standing with God through faith. Let us grasp the fact that we have peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy with peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Right now, you are righteous. The Bible says in Ephesians that God sees you holy, without blemish. You stand before God. When you stand before God, God will not hold you guilty. God will not judge you. He judged Jesus for you. When you go before God, God will not bring up any of your past because there's none. So when you pray, you're coming to God through Jesus Christ. And he will hear your prayer. He'll hear you. I want you to know that. I want you to be strong. I want this church to be strong in the prayer. So when we pray together, things happen. This whole city shakes. They'll say, why is this city shaking? I sound like I said something different. Boy, why is this city shaking? Say that 20 times. Why is this city shaking? It's happening over there in Kern River. Something's going on. What is that shaking? People in here are praying. All right? You can see all these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 5:21, Philippians 3:9, Galatians 2:16 says that you're righteous. 1 Peter says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears are open unto the prayer. Proverbs 15:21 says, but the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. God hears your prayer. How can we put that in you? This is the confidence we said that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Thank you, Lord God. So when your prayers are not immediately manifested, what do? If your prayers don't seem to be answered right away, continue to stand on the word of God. Continue to declare the word of God. Offer prayers of thanksgiving and say, God, I know you heard my prayer. I thank you, Lord. I say, I thank you, Lord God, according to your word. I have what you said in your word. What you said in your promises. Thank you, Lord. That's how you pray. If you're going to pray another third or fourth time, go to God again. Say, Lord, and if you're feeling a little bit nervous or anxious, say, Father, I know I'm just struggling here with my mind, but I want to thank you right now, Father. You said in your word, and you quote the scripture, and you say this. You said, I have this, so I want to thank you. I have it according to your word. Not according to how good I am. Not according to who prays or whatever happens, but according to your good word. You said it. So I believe it, and you said you hear me. Yeah. Declare it. Say it to yourself. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13, having all done to stand. If you've done everything to stand, continue to stand on the word. Thank God. So we have to go very. The third one is this. Don't consider any circumstances that are contrary to what you're asking God for. The third step is to ensure your prayers are answered is don't consider any kind of circumstances that are contrary to the word of God, to what you've been asking. The Bible says Abraham didn't consider his circumstances but he considered what God said. Let me just read, let's go to Ephesians, Romans 4:17. Let's read this for a second, and we're going to close it here in about 5 minutes. Let's go ahead to Romans right here. I'm going to close it, give you the last one in a minute. So we're still on the third one. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope. In other words, he was hopeless. And that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken through so shall thy seed be. Verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith, he could have been weak. He considered not his own body now dead. When you consider natural circumstances, then your faith is weak. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sometimes when you believe in God as a husband or wife or a mom or whatever, or dad, that you have to believe not only your situation, but the situation of people you're praying for, so you can't consider that. Verse 20 says this, and he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief. That's the word of God, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, the third step, as we mentioned, is that don't consider any contrary circumstances that differ from what you're asking God for. So he says here again, verse 19, he was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. What did he do? He considered not his own body. God promised him. He said, I don't care what I look like, what I feel like, how old I am. God said it. I believe it. Then he says, he looked at his wife. He knew his wife couldn't receive a seed. She was old, and she was also barren. The Bible says that he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had to believe not only through his own body, but through his wife as well. So he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief. If Abraham didn't have God's word or promises, he couldn't have stood in faith. You cannot stay in faith unless you go to God's word. If you're believing God for something and the devil comes and attacks you and you prayed about it, what scripture do you have to stand on? You need to stand against whatever he's attacking you with scripture. Say, Lord, I want to thank you. Devil, I don't believe what you're saying to me. Here's what I believe. I talk to the devil. It's like I'm talking to you right now. He comes to me, talks to me. He said, no, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. And I quote the scripture. It's like what Jesus did. You got to treat the devil like he's a person, and he is a person. And you got to fight against him with the word of God and talk to him. If you don't talk to the devil and you don't talk to your mountain, it's not going to move. You got to talk to that mountain. So the Bible says that Romans 4:17, Abraham called those things which be not as though they were. Like God, he practiced that. Like his father, he practiced saying what God said, even though it was not happening in his life right at the moment. You got to believe like it is. Don't call it as it is. Call it like the word of God says it is. The last one is give God praise. The final thing to do if you answer prayer is to give God praise. Give him glory. Continue to offer up prayers of praise. Offer sacrifices of praise. Our text says Abraham says he gave God glory. What does that mean? It meant that he praised God even though his circumstances didn't look so great. It didn't look like the promises was coming through. He waited 25 years until that manifested. Are you waiting for 25 years? Do you want to wait for 25 years? If it takes 25 years, you still have to praise God. No matter how long it takes. At the last trump, you're still believing. Right? You're not going to be here, but if in fact, the devil shows up, the Antichrist shows up, you just say, I'm believing. Eh? He says, I'm going to take this. No, you ain't. One lesson I want to give you. There's a man by the name of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. You can go home and read this. This man was being attacked by three armies, stronger than his little army in Judah. They were going to annihilate the people there. Take whatever they got, kill everyone, steal their children, take their wives, take all the gold and whatever goods they have, and kill all the men. King Jehoshaphat began to pray. He said, "We're gonna fast here." So he called a sacred prayer meeting. He says, all this army was coming. The Bible said he was so afraid. They were big and powerful, and he had such a small contingent of men to fight back. He was fearful, and he turned to God. God gave him an answer in that situation. And the answer was praise. That's the answer. Oh, Lord, why don't you give me something else here? We got an army coming. He says, no, I want you to praise me. And here's the thing about it. Most people in this room, I would say 99% of the people, don't think this way. They think about Benny Hinn's hotline. And Kenneth Copeland's hotline. Eh? When you have prayer, no, I would run to God the first thing I do. He didn't say over here, oh, he ran to, you know, a hotline. No, they were told to praise. So he got if you read the whole story. So he got everyone to praise. And the Bible says, over here in 2 Chronicles 21, he told them to say, praise the Lord, and his mercy endures forever. They needed mercy. If these armies are coming to kill them, God says, you praise me right now. His mercy endures forever. I had you to say that this morning three or four times. I said, thank God, you know, his mercy endures forever. So in verse 17, you shall not need to fight this battle. And guess what? You don't need to have to fight this battle either. Set yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. O you, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, be not dismayed, nor tomorrow, or for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. You think the Lord is with us? Yes, he is with us. It means that he didn't have to fight a natural fight. They were to praise spiritual praises. Verse 21 says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty and the holiness as he went out before the army to praise the Lord, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22, when they began to sing to praise the Lord said, ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against them, and they were smitten. So we need to give God glory. Four steps in summary. Number one, find scriptures that promise you something. Number two, believe God meant what he said. Number three, refuse to consider contrary circumstances. Number four, continue to praise God.